Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's amazing how some NFL quarterbacks can be the hottest thing in the world and all of a sudden not. Brock Purdy, final year of his rookie contract with the 49ers, he's going to make $985,000 this year. His overall contract was $3.7 million. 49ers are going to have to decide what they're going to do in the offseason with him, whether to give him and pay the big contract and pay him or not. But either way, he said happy holidays to his offensive linemen yesterday by giving away 10 Toyota pickup trucks.
Oh, my goodness. A pickup for every lineman.
Every offensive lineman. He knows where his bread is buttered, I'll tell you that. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Bill Cassidy, U.S. Senator, about what's going on in Washington and Social Security and more. Tommy Tucker, glad you're with us back in a flash on WWL. It is currently 7:12 on a chilly Friday morning, December 20th, counting down to Christmas Day. And if you average your temperatures right now, yeah, about the mid-40s, I think it'd be accurate. Highs today of 64. Saturday, tomorrow, highs of 53, so cooler, 57 on Sunday. Then, unfortunately, warming toward Christmas. 66 for a high on Monday, 70 for a high on Tuesday, Christmas Eve. Then Wednesday, Christmas Day, turning kind of rainy. 70% chance for showers and highs of 72. And then it cools off a little bit, and who knows what New Year's Eve could be like. Liable to be 80 degrees, or it's liable to be 100, or maybe it could be 20. That's the way the weather is here, right? Somebody texted and said, Tommy, you sound angry. I'm not angry. It's just that, you know, it's December 20th. We all want to talk about Christmas and be happy, but these goofballs in Washington, no disrespect, we're getting ready to talk to Senator Bill Cassidy about that, and I didn't really feel like talking about that, but we do because it's important. And we were talking about the differences between government and business and how people want government to be run like a business. But I think one of the problems with that is that businesses are run to do what? Make a profit, right? And to be run most cost efficient, and not necessarily, and I would ask you to be honest with yourself here, to say if the businesses that are the more successful, let's talk about Walmart, for example, just to pick a big business, AT&T, is customer service their number one priority? Twitter, is that customer service their number one priority? And I ask you that because government, really, their number one service should be, their number one priority should be customer service, right? And serving the public, because that's what government does. Senator Bill Cassidy joins us now. How you doing, Senator?
I'm doing really well, Tommy. Yeah, Merry Christmas and just happy holiday season.
Yeah, same to you. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays. What's going on with this spending bill? Because I got to tell you, I don't know who's on whose side here. Conservatives voting against the president's plan. I don't know where it is in the House. Steve Scalise tweeting that 90% of Democrats voted for, I don't know, something with the Republic. Who's on what side? What the hell's going on here, Senator?
Yes.
All of the above, huh? Check them all.
All of the above. So, you know, I mean, you know the facts. Johnson and Steve Scalise have negotiated a deal that they thought I could pass the House in the Senate.
Well, actually, Senator, let me slow you down a little bit, because I think with Christmas sometimes maybe people don't know the facts and they want to put white hats and black hats on people because it's easy for us to understand and make sense of, but it's not always the truth. So go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is almost totally gray.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Scalise and Johnson were negotiating a deal and with Democrats. And it gotten to a point they thought they had something that could pass. There was good things in it that were more than just funding the government, to be honest. For example, reauthorizing the National Flood Insurance Program so it doesn't expire today, which is nice because if you have a flooding claim, you want to get paid. Mm-hmm. So it had things a little bit extra like that. and the way it is in Washington, in order to get some things, you have to give some things. And so there was like a rebuilding the bridge in Maryland, which I wouldn't have done. But I'm also, you know, I'm married. Sometimes I give a little bit to get a little bit.
You well, know, and Maryland's like a state in the country as well, right?
It is. Yeah. Now, you know, we can argue about that. But Elon woke up at like 4 a.m. and started tweeting things that weren't true.
Exactly.
For example, that it had money for Ukraine. It does not have money for Ukraine. So it was fundamentally getting the government through for 3 months because President Trump did not want a complete budget passed. He just wanted things passed for 3 months. And so it got done for 3 months, and it did things like reauthorize the National Flood Insurance Program besides that. And so Elon starts tweeting about 4, 5, 6 hours later, and Trump, you know, whatever, decides to weigh in too, and says he wants to do away with the debt ceiling. Now, as far as I know, this is the first time that demand had been publicly made. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big deal. It's a big deal. Now, I'll tell you why Trump wants it, because when the debt ceiling comes around in June, Chuck Schumer is going to use it to negotiate. Okay, mm-hmm. That's just the way Washington is. But there's about 40 House Republicans that until June comes will not vote to do away with the debt ceiling. So when you say who's on what side, the debt ceiling put 40 people who typically vote no on everything from the Republican Party. But they were, you know, but you can talk them into voting yes if you just like get everything just right. Boom, they're no. Chuck Schumer's team is no. So then you got a marrying of the people who on the Republican side, who are the most fiscal hawks, and then you've got the Democrats, who are the least fiscal hawks, on the same team.
That's what confuses me. Say that part again right there.
You got the 40 most fiscally conservative Republicans, and you got the Democrats, who are not fiscally conservative, as a rule.
Right.
And you put them together, and they're on the same team now.
How did that happen again? Tell me politically how that, Senator, tell me again how that politically happened, because I'm having a hard time with that.
Mm-hmm. So Trump, after Elon begins to tweet that this is a bad deal, saying things that aren't true, no money for Ukraine, but he's saying that. It gets everybody fired up. Trump wakes up and he starts to tweet too. And he says that bad spending deal, it should primary people who are going to support it, and he wants to do away with something called the debt ceiling. Mm. And the debt ceiling is a limit on how much the federal government can borrow.
He wants to do away with it, meaning there would be no ceiling on how much a government can borrow?
Correct.
Well, that would hardly seem to be fiscally responsible.
Well, you can argue that the federal government's going to end up borrowing what it needs to borrow anyway.
Yeah.
But the fiscal conservatives will say that, wait a second, this is a point of reevaluation. Yes, we may end up increasing it, but it makes us pause and say, are we really spending money on things that we should be spending money on? How do we consider it?
Let me jump in one more time, Senator, because this is complex stuff. When it comes to debt ceiling, is this money that is already allocated? Is it akin to we're going to go out and buy something, or is it akin to it's already been spent, we just need to honor our obligation now and pay for it?
Both.
Okay.
So, for example, Social Security is going to make payments to Social Security beneficiaries. And we know that every day 10,000 people become eligible for Social Security. That's not an exaggeration. That's kind of a rough number. So we're going to pay that money. But on the other hand, it may also be that we need a new ship for the Navy, which might be being built in Terrebonne Parish, for example, and we're going to pay for that new ship. And so we got to borrow money to pay for that new ship, too. So it's both that which has already been allocated. We have allocated money to pay Social Security benefits. We're going to pay them. We got to pay them. We're obligated to pay them. We should pay them. And we need to buy a new ship for the Navy. So it's both.
Okay, let me take a break, Senator, if we can, right here for traffic, and then we'll pick it up when we come back. One other thing I want to talk to you about is I just want to pick your brain because this has come up a lot this morning. You are a physician. You run your own practice, right? So you are, in essence, a businessman. You've been in the Senate a long time. I just want to talk to you about the difference between running a business and running a government, because I think people sometimes want government run like a business, but I don't know if they really do, because if you look at a business like Walmart, which is profit-oriented, customer service is not always at the top of the list. So if you want the government run like a business, you might be saying you don't mind waiting in long lines to check out. That's a gross oversimplification. I realize we can pick it up. We come back. 721 traffic now, WWL. It is currently 726, talking to Senator Bill Cassidy. Senator, before we run out of time, I want to talk about the bill that you, your bill to boost Social Security benefits. Talk about that, if you would, please, sir.
Yeah, so it's called Windfall Elimination Provision and Government Pension Offset. In 1993, Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich passed a law. They said, okay, if you are a state or local employee and you pay into your pension fund instead of paying into Social Security, we're going to decrease your amount of social benefit a little bit because you're not paying in for your entire work life. That would be fair. But they over-penalized. They way over-penalized. So much so that when it came to a death benefit, it would sometimes have been better for the widow to have not have worked, and she would have gotten a richer death benefit after her husband's death than had she worked in teaching you math in high school. Since 93, we've known this is a problem. No one has ever been able to get it fixed. We are going to fix it today. We're going to finish fixing it today and make it right. And 30 years is too long, but boom, we're doing it today.
Hey, man, getting something done. Along the lines of getting something done, how do you see this government shutdown thing playing out? You know the politics involved. You know the players involved. It's crazy that you got, and if you're just tuning in, you got the 40 most conservative Republicans actually on the same side as the Democrats. Elon Musk in the middle of this, tweeting a lot of misinformation and disinformation, stuff that's outright false, and getting people all riled up and talking about primary this and that. Tell me, Senator, you're a reasonable guy. What do you see this playing out? How do you see it?
Tommy, I'm planning on being here through the weekend and maybe through Christmas. I don't know how it plays out. Obviously, President Trump has tried to weigh in to get something done now. And so they had a vote last night, but it failed.
Where does that weigh in, though, Senator? Real quick, where does that weigh in with people wanting to get home for the holidays? Because they are human beings.
When you got people, of course people want to get home from the holidays. Yeah. Now, but, if you're Elon and you're down in, some really nice place and you're tweeting and getting people fired up, you don't have as much pain, if you will. I'd like to think that people wanting to keep programs in place, like making sure the National Flood Insurance Program doesn't shut down, for example. So if somebody floods from something, we have a benefit there for them right now, that would motivate people even more than getting home for Christmas. I want to get home for Christmas. I really want to make sure that our federal government works for somebody who's in need.
Well, you
That's
took an
my
oath.
Big priority.
You took an oath and you're honoring it. Real quick, let me ask you, we just got a minute left. You're a businessman. You own your own medical practice. You're also a senator in the U.S. government. Compare and contrast people when they say they want to run the government like a business. Is that really a possible thing to do?
Well, in some aspects it is. So, for example, do I think that federal employees in Washington, D.C. should be working from home and you literally don't have a way to account for how well they're working? Mm-hmm. That's established by government accounting office. Mm-hmm. No, that's wrong. That needs to run like a business. On the other hand, a business would not provide benefits for a widow. Well, maybe it does through its pension fund, but we have widows, we have widowers, we have people who are mentally deficient, and we have a safety net program set up for them. And frankly, everybody listening in some way will have a loved one or they themselves benefit. Mm-hmm. Business doesn't do that, government does. So it's kind of a mix of responsibility.
And you got a lot more stakeholders involved. If I choose not to do business with Walmart, I don't have to. If I choose not to see Dr. Cassidy, I don't have to. But I do have to deal with the U.S. government, right? Or the U.S. government has to deal with me.
Yeah, I mean, like, only one person has nuclear weapons.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's a good thing, by the way.
Yeah, it is a good thing. Senator, thank you for your time, and I hope we talk to you again soon. You have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I hope you get home for the holidays, all right?
Merry Christmas. Thank you. Happy Hanukkah for our Hanukkah.
And everything else. Absolutely. Throw it all, whatever you celebrate. God bless you. Thank you, sir. We'll take a break. Come back. We'll talk to Mark Rosa. It's time to help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Right now, time for WWL First News. Minute late for that, we go to Dave Cohen. College football playoffs starting tonight, and I saw a tweet earlier from somebody, South Bend, Indiana. Snow's falling already. Campus is filling up. And Cullen back in the studio brought up Master Control brought up an idea about it's going to be a good game for Christmas because it should be just snowing like crazy, huh? Mm. Indiana and Notre Dame?
Yeah, and in Indiana, state bragging rights on the line as
Not
well
to mention
as,
that. You got the Indiana rivalry.
Yeah, and the winner comes here to New Orleans.
Not to mention that.
To play in the Sugar Bowl against Georgia.
Not to mention that.
Well, I mentioned it.
Well, that's true. I forgot about that. All right, so you got Indiana, Notre Dame tonight. Then tomorrow you got SMU playing Penn State. Mm-hmm. Who you got? Who's winning?
Penn State.
Yeah, I think so, too. Clemson at Texas. Who's
Texas.
Winning?
Texas.
I'm going to go with Clemson in an upset. I think that Clemson team is
underrated. LSU plays up Clemson to open the season next year, by the way.
Okay. Tennessee at Ohio State.
I think this is an upset, Tennessee.
I think that's going to be a great game. That could be one of the best ones. So we'll see what happens. Those are the college football playoff games for this weekend. So between that and pro football, if you can't find some football to watch, God bless you.
Well, and thank goodness we have football that means something because all these other bowl games that we've been having to watch the last few
days. Oh, come on, Dave. You enjoyed the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky the other night. Admit it. You know you did.
Hey, Tulane is playing today in the Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa against Florida. Mm-hmm.
And you got the New Orleans Bowl. You had Texas State
night,
University of Houston. Somebody
won.
Somebody else. Yeah, somebody won. Exactly. We'll take a break.
Yeah, maybe it was a tie. I don't know.
No.
No, somebody won.
That was Dave Cohen. Those of you with the New Orleans Bowl that said that was Dave Cohen, not Tommy Tucker, just to be clear. We'll take a break, come back, help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, when we come back on WWL. 7:46, 14 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Friday, December 20th, counting down to Christmas Day. Unfortunately, it's going to be a little rainy and warm, but Mark Rosa, what are you going to do, right?
That's it. You just got to take what comes.
That's all you can do and just enjoy the family and the presents and the eggnog and all of that stuff.
Right.
I'm well, sir. Thank you. It's time to help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. If you can safely access the computer at jeffersonfinancial.org, you'll see in the middle of the page calculators. Click on that. You'll find close to 90. Last time I counted calculators, they can help you with all different kinds of things. And that's what Mark does. He helps you manage your money. So what are we going to talk about today, Mark?
Well, first, and Tommy, I wanted to mention, calculators free and open to the public.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to join the credit union.
Nope.
You don't have to put personal information and nothing of the sort. Just enjoy them. That's
no
why
salesman will call.
But no sales, absolutely. So, Tommy, I thought to talk a little bit about rates. I had people asking me about rates since the Fed had some actions this week, and it was as expected. Okay, they were forecasting lowering interest rates by 25 basis points. They did. That was on Wednesday, released yesterday, and that's a full point for 2024. They started late in the summer, August, September, and three consecutive meetings later, we've got 1% lower rates. What people don't understand is what Fed actions, when they are normally lowering rates or increasing rates for that matter, they are confined to a particular area of rates with respect to bank products and interest rates in general. So they're going to be lowering what's called the overnight rate or increasing the overnight rate. It would be more on the way of like savings accounts that really don't have a term. So when you have and credit cards, they really don't have a term. It's a perpetual product. But when you have five-year car loans, that's not what the Fed is doing. But especially when you have 30-year house loans, that's not what the Fed is doing. Now, will the markets align themselves with a lot of rate changes? They do. But what had gone on this week, I think people were expecting more as they've been putting up with relatively high rates for the past couple of years. Been very painful, and it's like any talk of a rate decrease, they think it's mark to market. Every time the Fed changes rates, it's going to mean a windfall of savings for them, and that's just not what happened. So first of all, they said, okay, we lower rates by 25 basis points. Tommy, you and I were talking about inflation data that came out last week. We covered it this past Monday, that there are a couple of upticks in inflation. It happened in producer prices. The average was hovering around 0.2% per month, and that would have been a 2.4% annual rate. It came in at 0.4%. So that was kind of a shock to the market. It came in at double the expectation. Is inflation starting to get back in the equation? And that's exactly what the Fed wants to be relatively astute about. They want to be a hawk over any increase in inflation. So they, given that, they were saying, okay, we're going to lower the rates by 25 basis points this time. They did. But let's, okay, that's the first phase of our action about getting us out of this. When they increased rates by 5 percentage points over the past couple of years, they've only taken one back. So that's why rates remain high, in part because their actions, they've only taken back just a small bit of what they increased to fight inflation. They said, well, next year, especially with the economy improving and inflation possibly returning, maybe two rate decreases next year. That would only be a half a percentage point if they decrease by their normal 25 basis points per meeting. And Wall Street didn't like that at all. Some Wall Street analysts came out saying, well, if you got producer prices that came in at double the expectation, don't plan on any rate decreases next year. The party is over. The Fed's second phase of rate changes might be just to sit on their hands for a couple of years. So what happened? The Dow was promptly down yesterday 1,100 points. It rebounded a little bit of late, but nothing to replace the 1,100. I don't even think it replaced the 100. So that the market didn't like that news at all. We were expecting, let's bake some rate decreases into the equation for next year and look forward to some lower rates. Well, okay, that's where it is right now. So I guess we're going to have to wait and see. The Fed's preferred inflation gauge, the personal consumption expenditure, was due out at 8:30 this morning. It came out just a few minutes ago. The expectation was to be up 0.2%. It was thankfully up only 0.1%. So that's better than expected, obviously, a less of an inflation pressure. And I'm sure the Fed will be watching that very closely going forward. That's their preferred gauge. So I'm glad it was down and not up, or the market would have had another, I would think they would have had another sell-off today. As far as, what happens to credit card rates, as I spoke of before, Capital One was kind of showcased in a Market Watch article. They used them as an example. Tommy, their rates, it's called risk-based pricing. If you have great credit, Capital One rate is 19.49%. If you have mediocre credit, it's 25.74. And if your credit is kind of beat up a little bit, and you're putting it back together, your rate that you will pay is 29.49. Now imagine lowering that by a quarter of a percentage point. You think you're getting anywhere? That's not good credit. They're charging you basically 20%. So that's where some of the credit card rates are, double digits, still at highs. So you're not going to get a lot of relief at all from recent Fed action for reasons that we said. Some cards reset immediately after the Fed might change rates because it would be tied to Wall Street Journal Prime. That does reset immediately after the Fed changes rates. Some of them reset at the end of the month. Some reset quarterly. So if somebody's saying, well, okay, I'll take the quarter point reset, I'll take it. It's incrementally, it's better. It's I don't know how somebody even notices a difference at those rates, but they might drag that out. Whoever your credit card issuer is might reset at the end of a quarter, so you won't notice it right away. Auto rates remained relatively unchanged because they're not going to. That's not what the Fed is doing. Is not affecting directly 5-year paper, 6-year paper, and that's what auto rates are. Mortgage rates, they increased the moment that the Fed said they weren't going to decrease rates, but maybe a couple of times next year. So they popped back up about a quarter, and that, again, is 30-year rates. So the home sales have been on track for their worst year in nearly 30 years. You've got inventory that's not turning over because some people that got 2-point-something percent rates a couple of years ago are sitting on it. So that inventory is staying put. And then rates have remained basically around 7% all of 2024. We had that in August when the forecast was that they were just going to start plowing into rates and pulling them back down. And the mortgage market was getting excited. And we booked some 5.5% 30-year mortgages fixed back in August. And some people jumped on the idea. I'm glad they did because they locked in a good rate for at least the foreseeable future. But if we didn't, if somebody was waiting on a couple more basis points to come down, now you back up into the sevens, and that might stay there for the foreseeable future. So that's kind of where some of the rates are, different products that people may have, and you're just not going to see a lot of relief off of these small incremental changes in Fed action. I'm glad they're doing them. Mm-hmm. I think it's good for the economy. But if it starts stoking inflation again, some analysts have said, you know, look, I wouldn't be surprised if there was an increase next year. I'm hoping that doesn't happen.
Thank you, Mark. Very good information as always. And again, go to jeffersonfinancial.org. Check out those calculators. And I'm kidding about, you know, they used to say no salesman will call. But seriously, there's no tracking, no this, no registration, no login, no password, no nothing. Absolutely free, close to 90 calculators that will really give you some valuable information and make you rethink things when it comes to your personal finances and your personal budget. Thank you, Mark. Talk to you Monday.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Monday, we'll take a look at the week ahead. You bet. I'll look at the week ahead on Wall Street Monday morning markets with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. 7:55 now, 5 till 8. It'd be time for traffic on WWL. 7:59, merrily matriculating our way through a Friday morning before Christmas. And we're going to come back, talk about BGR and this City Hall and with the housing trust fund that was approved by voters, how the money should be spent. We'll talk with BGR Leslie Harris this hour.